Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
Still 5 minutes before the first hour of racing is done. Into the pit lane for Jimmy Johnson. Remember, off kilter on fuel, so has gone 7 or 8 laps further than the set of pit stops that corresponded to that from the other leading runners. Shea Adam, you've been watching that Ally Cadillac quite carefully over the last few laps.
Yes, and he is about 6 minutes short of meeting minimum drive time. So Jimmy Johnson will need to do another stint in the Allo Racing Cadillac, but that's not right now because Simon Pagenaud has taken over behind the wheel of that car. Now, it was very interesting with what was going on with Action Express. They run two cars in the field. The other car, besides the 48, being that 31 Whelen Engineering Cadillac that was on the pit lane receiving work. They didn't want to bring the 48 in while the 31 was still there, blocking the egress of Jimmy Johnson into the pit box. So they waited and they kept Jimmy out for a couple laps longer to be able to make sure that the 31 was going to stay out on that. So that was interesting. And of note, that Pipo Durrani was only on track for a few laps on those new Michelin tires. Then they put another set of Michelin tires onto the car. So John, what was one of our Porsche keys to the race? And the tires?
And the tires, yeah. Have some at the end. Pit stops now starting for the GT classes. Shea Adam with the two BMWs coming in team orders.
With 24 leading in 25. That is the black BMW that started in fourth place for Jesse Krohn. Let's see if Jesse's going to be staying aboard that car. He's been doing quite a bit of snow rally driving back home in Finland. Now he gets to come back and do some proper concrete racing in the U.S. Connor DeFilippi behind him. Both drivers staying aboard. Both drivers getting fuel and brand new Michelin tires.
Just in case you missed that, Jimmy Johnson did get out of that number 48 car after a 21 lap run since his fuel stop in that Cadillac number 48. Renger van der Zander retakes the lead in the Chip Ganassi version of the Cadillac, the 01 car. Shea.
A change on the pit lane. The 25 crew beats out the 24. So red BMW now leads black BMW. And also a quick note, we did have the LMP3 leader down the pit lane, Performance Tech, doing their first stop of the race. Rasmus Lind, who had run out to a fantastic lead at the beginning of this one, stays aboard the red and black LMP3 machine.
Yeah, none of the other cars in that category have yet made their stops. Dropped out to fourth in class, 18th overall, and Rasmus then getting back up to speed on a lovely, lovely day here at Sebring International Raceway. A little bit of high cloud, air temperature spot on at 20 Celsius. And that, for those of you who work in Fahrenheit, is 68 degrees. And it's about a degree or two warmer on the track temperature. Barely any wind to talk about. It was quite windy early on this week, actually. And that was causing some problems for the drivers getting their braking points right, particularly in the prototypes. Not just the prototypes, but more particularly the aero-dependent cars. But frankly, even the GT3 cars are pretty aero-dependent nowadays. So coming round to the first full hour of racing completed, as coming into the pit a moment or two ago, the 24 BMW going round the outside of, that was the Corvette, and then cutting right in front. Now we've got the WeatherTech Porsche coming in as well from GT Le Mans here.
And again, short on drive time, Cooper McNeil cannot put his feet up for the rest of the day. He still needs two more minutes until you've reached the minimum 1 hour drive time, but that doesn't stop them from doing a driver change for the 79 WeatherTech Racing. That was the helmet of Matthew Jaminet getting behind the wheel. So the Frenchman going out for his first stint during this year's race. But we have also had into the pit lane John Bennett in the 54 Core Autosport LMP3 machine, as well as Lance Wilsey in the Sean Creech LMP3 machine. That one, the number 33. Brian Sellers is now in the number one Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini. And Mikhail Grenier is in the 75 Sun Energy One machine being run by Gradient Racing. Another pit stop. Also, Christina Nielsen stays aboard the 88 for Hardpoint Team EBM in that Porsche.
A few moments ago, just a little off at turn 10 for Jim Cox in the Riley Motorsport Ligier, fifth in LMP3 at the moment. That's the number 91 car, but he has continued into the pit lane for the GTD Lamborghini of Paul Miller Racing, and that was a driver change there. And that's Brian Sellers, I think, that's got into that car here, yes?
Correct.
Thank you. So, cycling through this early part of the race with one full course yellow debris on the track caused by a spinning Jimmy Johnson in his Cadillac, and then spearing across the track and clipping the left front of the Mustang sampling car. That left debris on the track that needed attention. Shards of carbon fibre and Michelin tyres, not their best friend, let's be honest. And this is quite a quick track, let's remind ourselves. Corvette in the pit lane is the number three with the red flashes. Shea Adam, this is the one that has been leading GT Le Mans.
This is the last of our pit stoppers as well for the GTLM category. Let's see, is it still the King of Spain? It is. Antonio Garcia not removing himself from that car should surprise absolutely no one. Fuel tires. Oh, I like the Mobil 1 sticker that they've got on the side of the car. They've got the flying horse, the Pegasus, as extra representation of the silver liveries that they're doing this year, which, by the way, in case you're seeing these pictures for the first time all weekend and thinking, hang on, where's the yellow Corvettes? Well, there is still some yellow on the three Corvette at the very least, because Antonio Garcia from Spain has a Spanish flag on that car. But yes, different livery for Mobil 1, and Antonio Garcia is back out on the track for what he hopes will be another hour.
And just for this race is what we're being told by Corvette Racing Share.
Yes, correct. Just for this race. So get used to it over the next 10 hours and 58 minutes, but then you probably won't see it again.
So, Jeremy, an hour of racing completed. One full course yellow for that incident we've just mentioned. And Gregor van der Zander, that cream, sort of just cream-coloured car as well, has risen to the top for Cadillac Chip Ganassi Racing.
Yes, and we've had, what, three lead changes in this race. We've had three different leaders, and Gregor van der Zander turning some good laps at the front of the field. He's maintaining that gap around about 5 seconds, actually gone out, went out by more than a second on that last lap over Ricky Taylor in second place, 6.6 seconds. A similar margin back to Oli Plein, second of the Acuras for Meyer Shank Racing in third position. Oliver Jarvis is tracking along behind him just a couple of seconds back. So they're all running a similar pace. Number five car has just made its second pit stop of the day, of course, out of sequence with everybody else as a result of having to make that stop earlier on during the caution period as a result of the contact that it was involved in with the number 48 car in the early stages. So number five car, they're back on schedule now, or its schedule, slightly off kilter with the other DPI cars, but that stop has been made and Loic de Val back out onto the racetrack and he will be in the sixth position. We've got just the top six cars, all the prototypes are on the lead lap. Everybody else is a lap down. Stephen Thomas still leads in LMP2, needs maintaining a gap of around about 3 seconds over Ben Keating in second place in the car number 52. That gap again remaining fairly constant.
Yeah. Just getting into the rhythm now. Now we're going to just have to keep our eye on who's doing what at the front of the field. As Jeremy mentioned, Simon Pagenaud and that Malai Cadillac just a little bit off kilter to everyone else. Been some GTD stops now as we're getting into the time. Around about an hour for the GT Daytona cars and the GT Le Mans. We had a little bit of yellow that's just stretched that a wee bit. Shea, what's going on?
Lots of driver changes in GTD, which is something that we don't normally see. So clearly people trying to get all their drivers cycled through and give everyone a chance to feel what the track conditions are like. We mentioned Brian Sellers is now in the number one. Lars Kern has taken over for Zach Robichon. Great job by Zach in that opening stint to come back up from 12th. At one point, he was running in the 6th. Robert McGuinness is aboard the 12 Lexus, and Kyle Kirkwood just now strapping himself aboard that number 14, the sister car Lexus, which pitted from 2nd. Trent Hindman is aboard the Wright Motorsport Porsche, number 16, and Tim Zimmerman, who set the fastest lap in qualifying yesterday, only to have that time disallowed due to the car not passing the technical inspection, has climbed aboard the 19 GRT Lamborghini. Ian James is the only driver I've seen so far who has stayed aboard the GTD machine that he started the car in. It's Michael De Quesada, who is now in the Allegra Motorsports Mercedes. First time all year for Michael to be driving in racing conditions, of course. John Potter is just in the pit lane now for the Magnus Racing Acura, so I'll keep an eye on that. It's Mikkel Grenier aboard the 75 Sun Energy One. Christina Nielsen also did stay aboard the number 88 Porsche, and I'm waiting. Rob Ferriel has stayed aboard the 99. So we have three of our original 13 drivers who have not changed out, as it is now Aiden Reed in the 96 Turner Motorsport BMW. That is a lot of changes for the first round of pit stops. We do not normally see that.
Hello to Steph, who's finally made it into the circuit. Lots of people wanting to see the 69th running of the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring, presented by Advance Auto Parts. At least she was able to keep up to date with what was going on. Sirius 216, XM392, around the area of the circuit on WWOJ here in Central Florida, 99.1 FM, and around the world on RS2. That's the home of IMSA Radio. Every single hour of every single day of the week, month, or year, there's IMSA content on there. And if you're in a territory outside the US, or ones that don't have network television, you can watch the pictures without any interruption and with our IMSA Radio commentary on imsaradio.com. Just click on the live video tab on the top left hand side. Take us with you wherever you're going today on this Saturday, with just under 11 hours to go. It's Shea Adam, our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter, Jeremy Shaw, and me, John Hindhoff, in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Little sharp intake of breath as GT action coming onto the back straight takes my interest immediately. This is GT Daytona mixed in with GT Le Mans, and Trent Hindman with the, what was the Paul Sitting Right Motorsport Porsche. He's got a couple of Vasser Sullivan Lexus either side of him, McGuinness behind him, Kirkwood ahead of him, and further up the road, it's the Turner Motorsport BMW that is now leading that GTD class. That's a decent little scrap going on there, Jeremy, with the GT Le Mans cars coming through it as well.
Yeah, fun, wasn't it? We got treated to a great overhead shot of the cars going down the Alec Almond straight, and really interesting to see all the speed differential between the cars. You know, I think the best battle out on the racetrack at the moment, for position at least, is for the GTLM lead. The three leaders pretty much nose to tail. Number three Corvette still leads, but the two BMWs right there, Colin DeFilippi in number 25, the red car, and Jesse Krohn in a 24 sister car as well. That's a good little battle. Those three cars very, very close together. Matthew Jaminet, as Shay described earlier on, is taking over at the wheel of the number 79 WeatherTech Porsche, run by the Proton Competition team. But he's a half a minute or so behind the three leaders in GTLM. But half a minute at this stage of the game means absolutely nothing. Meanwhile, in LMP2, all of a sudden, Ben Keating has all of a sudden just caught right up to Stephen Thomas as well. So number 11 and number 52, both of the first two cars are lapped down to the overall leaders, are now together and battling for the lead in LMP2.
And if you'd like to join the conversation, at IMSA Radio, hashtag RSL Sebring is how you get in touch with us. Already boiling up to be very interesting indeed at the sharp end of all of the different classes. Very early days. Not sure what we can read from what we've seen, other than everybody wanted to get back racing as early as possible. I even had some penalties right off the start for people being a little over anxious and changing lanes. But at the moment, it is Renger van der Zande for Cadillac Chip Ganassi Racing, the number 01 that leads the way. And remember, Renger was last in the pits some 14 and a bit laps ago. He's probably got another 6 or 7, so that's 12, between 12 and 14 minutes away, isn't it, for his next stop. Exactly the same time for Ricky Taylor, although the Acura did get, both of the Acuras got a lap longer than the Cadillac. No, that's not true, actually. No, it got the same number of laps as the Cadillac, one more than the Mazda on that last run, with a bit of yellow in it. But if you are doing your own lap chart, as Jeremy will be doing, 20 to 21 laps of green is where you expect those prototypes to be, or round about 38 to 40 minutes, depending on the track conditions under green flag running. Pagenaud then down to the hairpin at turn 7. Got the green GRT Lamborghini to go through. Slips to the right hand side through turn 8, the kink. And now into turn 9 and 10. Bit of a lock up ahead and gathering clouds. Forecast was for a little cloudier skies as we got towards the evening time. They don't look too threatening at the moment. Still quite high and spaced out, although there's a little bit of darkness in them. They're not white fluffy clouds. Here's the leader across the line. Renger van der Zande then clocks up another lap, completes 36, and that's a new lap record, Jeremy.
Is indeed 146.638 then for Renger van der Zande. Again, we said this several times now, the old record was set a couple of years ago, 147.4, so significantly quicker now for the this is the Cadillac Chip Ganassi Racing car that is running in the lead of this race. The gap back to second place around about 5 seconds. That's staying pretty constant. Back 8 laps ago, it was 5 seconds also. So as they, it ebbs and flows a bit as they work their way through the traffic, but that's staying fairly constant. The third place car, however, Oli Plaar, is definitely falling back a bit. They were, it was about similar margin behind in third position. That's now doubled to 11 seconds from second to third. But Oli Jarvis, he had actually caught up to Oli Plaar, just fell back a little bit on this last lap as he had negotiated some slower traffic. In LMP2, Ben Keating has now taken the lead from Stephen Thomas. So it's number 52 car that leads in LMP2. In the next on the racetrack is the GT and LM contenders. Top three cars still pretty much no fail, 325 and 24. In LMP3, behind those three GTLM leaders, Rasmus Lind still leads the LMP3 Category 4 of the South Florida-based Team Performance Tech Motorsports. And he's got about probably half a minute in hand over Oliver Askew. So in the kind of a 747 Motorsports, that's to Duquesne. And spoke to Oliver last night, and he's not particularly comfortable in the handling of that Duquesne chassis. Seven Motorsports. And he's rather hoping that the experience that Stephen McAleer has in that car will help them as race progresses. But those two maintaining their grid positions from the start. Gar Robertson doing a really nice job in the third place in the cars for Riley Motorsports, car number 74. He's only about 5 seconds behind Oliver Askew, so that's a really stout effort for Gar Robertson in car number 74. In GTD, Kirkwood's pulled out just a little bit of a gap. Still at number 14 car that leads now. We should mention that the number 16 car, Trent Hinman, was taken over the wheel of that Wright Motorsports car. That was another big beneficiary from that early full course caution, because you remember number 16 car had to serve a penalty shortly after the start of the race for being out of position. I think it was at the start. So that car had fallen a long way back, but got back up into contention. And we've seen how fast that number 16 car is, because Jan Hader put it on pole position for the second time in as many races here at Sebring, and that car now up into second place, number 16 Porsche in GTD, John.
Yeah, he changed his lanes at the start, didn't he, and chopped across actually in front of a GT Le Mans Porsche, and that's what got him the drive through penalty. But as you say, they've made that back now.
And the funny thing about that is it looked from our perspective that the prototype start was the messier of the two.
It was untidy, I'll give you that, yes.
Yeah, it was. So yeah, they were all spread out kind of line, which made it kind of difficult to judge where they were in relation to the other guys with the GT cars, who were kind of shuffled up with a couple of penalties at the start for being out of position, number four, Corvette being one as well.
Hello to Jamie McEwen. Enjoyed the first hour. He decided he needs a chocolate hobnob early to keep up the energy levels. You've got to pace yourself with that, Jamie. If you're going for the chocolate hobnobs this early, you might be struggling later on. That wasn't part of our Porsche keys to the race, in fact, but intake through the race for everybody, including those spectating and working. James Brown asks on at IMSA Radio using the hashtag RSL Sebring, what's the red implement sticking up from the 48's bonnet? Or the hood. You can clearly see it in the onboard shot. I think that's the towing eye, Shea, isn't it?
Yes, and also in terms of the driver, that is the fire here, the missile tone-in thing that they use. Yeah. No, it is the tone.
It's the sight. It's the gun sight. Yes, no, it's the towing eye, which is sticking up. Some of the cars, that lays flat, and it can be pulled up and locked up with a pin. It just so happens that on that one, it's up all the time, and that's why you can say it, Shea.
It should be flat, but his spin has actually knocked it up, and the team didn't put it back down. Normally, you don't get that sticking straight up into the air, but every time a prototype spins, you do tend to see those tow hooks rising and shining and then staying up for the remainder of the race.
So that, James, is what you were asking about the number 48, the Cadillac. And that is what it is. That's what it's there for. Hopefully it won't be required. So our Porsche keys to the race, you heard me make mention of that then, is... be there in the dark, and that's a problem now, Jeremy Shaw, for the pole sitting car, which has dropped somewhere near 14 miles behind the leaders, or if you prefer, four laps behind the leaders. And that is going to be tough. That's going to make this next 10 and three quarter hours very long. They're going to have to use every single opportunity to get laps back should there be a full course yellow again.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a super job really by that number 31 team to lose only four laps with that suspension change they had to make on number 31 car. I'm not sure where he is on the racetrack, actually, just trying to find him on the marching answer. You can't actually see it at the moment, but I don't think he's close to being able to get one of those laps back. So yeah, he is going to need the help of the
coming on the back straight now,
sure.
Jeremy. Thanks you to Alicia, who's just punched up the onboard from the number 31 of Pipo Durrani. Sits in 24th position then. And he'll make up some positions there because he's got LMP3s and GT cars on the same lap as him. He's got from 7th down to 4th in LMP3 on the same lap that he is working at the moment as he goes into turn one and commits. So quick now into turn one, isn't it? Really is for these DPI cars. So he will make up some positions on the timing and scoring monitors, but he's not going to improve for quite some time, or unless anyone else hits problems, in his own category. So he's staying in seventh for quite some time. The leader, by the way, is the 01, and that car is, well, people's just gone through the hairpin, and the leader is coming to the hairpin about now. So that'll give you an idea of how much ground people has to make. There are people who are driving very quickly, though, including the engine that you can hear behind us, which is, well, actually that might not be the right engine, but that's Simon Pagenaud in the Ally Cadillac. That's the number 48 car that has just done another new fastest lap, which means another lap record.
Yeah, indeed. So clearly, Jim Johnson was clearly struggling before handing over that car because there was that damage on the front of the car. They changed the nose, I think, during that pit stop, and now Simon Pagenaud is showing the true speed of that car. Just a new fastest lap of the race, as you say, John Heindorfer, 146.512. Boy, the pace of this race is fast. Conditions are perfect. Drivers are absolutely loving it out there right now.
A new fastest lap for their race for Stephen Thomas in the Wynn Autosport LMP2 car. That's the number 11, Orica, 151.2 there. So some of the drivers absolutely loving these conditions at the moment, as Jeremy says. Dwight Merriman heading to the pit lane for Era Motorsport. Shea Adam, the number 18 Orica, is in the pit lane.
And this is on time. This is triggering the next round of stops for our LMP2 contenders. And we should be getting our DPI contenders down the pit lane shortly as well, since they've been on track for about 38 minutes for the longest of them.
That's a couple of laps early for Merriman. He's only just completed maybe one lap early.
It's strategy. They're going to pull Dwight out of that car and put Razzle Dazzle in for his next stint.
Okay.
So this will be the first time that we see the Flying Scotsman around the track. And hello to Kyle Tilley, who's listening in to us right now while enjoying a little bit of pasta in the RV, saving up strength for his first stint later on.
Yeah, I wonder what secrets he's going to tell us today that he hasn't told this PR machine. Which he did let that one out of the bag. Also coming in, the 60 MSR car. And that is spot on. That's another 20 lap stint for Ollie Plahr, Jeremy.
Yeah, and so absolutely right, on schedule there. Super first stint there by Dwight Merriman, by the way, in the number 18 car. Car that won, of course, at Daytona, and he was holding his own there in the third position. He was 15 seconds or so behind the two leaders, but after 40 laps, very, very good effort by Dwight Merriman. Good job by him, and that would be Razzle Dazzle, as Shea Adam tells us.
Ryan DL, for those that don't know, spin down at the hairpin, and that is turn number 7 on your track map, ladies and gentlemen. And that is the Sean Creech Motorsport number 33 in its red, white and blue colours. Facing the wrong direction and would appear without any fire in the V8. Now it's fired up. Now it's moving forwards. And Lance Wilsey has got a bit of grass tracking onto the old circuit and heads back out the right way around the track. Don't think there was any contact there, but I don't know how he ended up facing in the wrong direction in the first place, whether he was helped slightly. Front of the field then, starting there, pit stops again, and it's Ricky Taylor and Ollie Jarvis for Acura number 10 from Konica Minolta and Mazda Motorsports number 55. Shea Adam.
Last time that we had pit stops, the Acuras were in together. This time, the MSR Acura coming in a lot before the Konica Minolta Acura. Again, no driver change. So Ricky Taylor going back out for another stint behind the wheel of the glossy black Acura. I pause there to give people a little bit of pause. And also further down in the Mazda world, the 55 is into the pit lane. Oliver Jarvis bringing that car in. I believe the plan was to leave him aboard for another stint, but we'll have to wait and see when he triggers the pit out. Also into the pit lane of note was the number 4 Corvette of Tommy Milner. This one is the silver with the white accents on it. And Tommy, I believe, will be staying aboard that car as well.
For those that follow these things, Ollie Jarvis did a lap further on that tank of fuel than he did on the previous one. So that's interesting. Ollie Plahr did a lap fewer on that tank of fuel than he did on the previous one. Simon Pagenaud, with about 5 more laps to go, will be the last of the leaders to stop in that alley. Ally Cadillac, number 48, as Renger van der Zande heads to pit lane in the leading Cadillac, and that was another 21 laps. So that is exactly the same as he did last time around. This should be full service this time around for that car share.
It should be, but let's see if Ranger stays aboard or if they decide to find a crowbar and try and get him out of the car. He's sharing this 01 Cadillac Chip Ganassi Racing beautiful race car with none other than Scott Dixon and Kevin Magnussen, rookie to the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring. You can't often say rookie when you associate Kevin Magnussen, but fuel, tires, and away the car goes. Is that still a gold helmet? I think that's still a gold helmet.
Yes, no, you're right, it is. I just saw the flash of the sunshine on there. So Renger, not good at sharing, clearly.
We knew that.
Yeah, well, that's true. I don't think we had to be told too much. Goes through the RFID readers at the end of pit lane so that the tyre information are relayed to IMSA. No, it's K-Mark. That's K-Mark's helmet. Sorry. I second-guessed myself there because you're normally much better than that. Than me at that, with your eyes being considerably younger, less miles on your eyes. So Pagenaud back in the lead with the fastest lap of the race as well, a new race lap record for the number 48 Cadillac. And as I say, about four more laps to go for that. Remember that off strategy caused by the pit stop required to replace the nose cone, the whole of the front of the bodywork on the 48 car after that early spin and contact when Jimmy Johnson started that car in the opening stint of the race. You're listening to IMSA Radio. It's live coverage of the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring, presented by Advance Auto Parts. Coming down to 10 and a half minutes to go around the track on 99.1 FM. Further afield in the US, Sirius 216, XM 392, and around the world on RS2, the home of IMSA Radio. Every day, every hour, every week, every month, always IMSA content on RS2 IMSA Radio via imsaradio.com. And if you're in a territory that doesn't have a TV coverage for this event, then you can tune in to uninterrupted live pictures with the IMSA Radio commentary on imsaradio.com. Click the live video tab on the top left-hand side. By the way, timing is available at imsa.com. The Alcamel system available to you there, so you can follow along as we do here in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. So, that's just going to start another set of pit stops. In comes Stephen Thomas for Wynn Autosport in the number 11 Orica. Shit.
My sigh of disappointment was because Stephen Thomas was catching right up to Ben Keating, and we were about to get a phenomenal battle on track. But alas, need more fuel, need new tires, need a driver change for Stephen Thomas. Great opening gambit for him. I believe that's the helmet of Thomas Merrill, his longtime driving coach, taking over behind the wheel, saving Tristan Nunez for a little bit later on in the race. This car, which started from pole position and was up in the top two for the entirety of its stint, fuel, tires, and I would assume a drinks bottle change as well for when Thomas Merrill is behind the wheel.
And what's the drive time implications then on the Pro-Am? You've talked about an hour in the Pro categories. What about the Pro-Am like LMP3 and GT Le Mans here?
3 hour minimum for your silver and bronze drivers.
Which combined or each?
Each. So 3 hours per silver or per bronze driver in the car, meaning that you have to do your fair share of the race in order to come away with a W. And the other thing that you have to keep an eye on, 7 hour maximum drive time and no more than 4 hours driving in any 6 hour period.
So basically what you're seeing there in a three-man team, which is what we have here, your pro-rated driver, your gold driver or beyond that, can't do any more than half of the race, is what you see.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Well, that makes sense. I like that. I like the way IMSA do these things. It makes people think on the pit wall as well as behind the wheel. 0-1 then. Renger van der Zander. Kevin Magnussen got into that car at the last pit stop, didn't he? Yeah, he did. 33 seconds behind Simon Pagenaud, the leader. Now, when we were in this position last time around, it was about 26, 27 seconds, that gap. So Pagenaud, he has made a little bit of a gain during this stint. He'll come to pit lane shortly, although he's got two pit stops against that car on the timing screen at the moment. Remember, that first one was a splash of fuel and a front bodywork change on the number 48, which leads the motor race at the moment for Ally Cadillac Racing and for Simon Pagenaud. Best of a 146.5. That is a new lap record. Ryan DL has just upped the bar a little bit in LMP2, Jeremy. The man that is known as Razzle Dazzle, Era Motorsports number 18, is the fastest car in LMP2 on, I think, his second flying lap.
Yeah, and yeah, that's to be expected. I mean, it was the gentleman drivers, quote unquote, that took the start of the race. They have to qualify in the Pro-Am class. There has to be the gold or silver rated drivers, i.e. basically, let's say, call them the AMs. That's being oversimplifying it, must admit, but the lesser experienced drivers at least. So now, you know, with Ryan DL, he's one of the pros, and he, not surprisingly, is going a little bit quicker than the other guys. So a new fastest lap of the race. And Scott Huffaker now has just taken over from Ben Keating in the number 52 car, the youngster from Northern California. And Thomas Merrill, as Shay said a little while ago, is now driving that win order sport entry car number 11. So, and Wayne Boyd behind them has taken over from Jim McGuire in the number 22 car. Those are the top five in LMP2.
Yeah, great to see United Autosports here, Jeremy. They've been sort of hinting, suggesting, threatening that they'd like to do a little more in the States again. And great to see those now very, very well-known colours and very successfully run cars in pretty much every series around the world, whether it's in Europe or Asia, and here in the US. Great to see them here, and let's hope that's the start of a long commitment for United Autosports.
Yeah, very much so. And they've sort of set up a base over here in the US, and are planning to do, or will be doing, I believe, the rest of the Michelin Endurance Cup Series this year, and perhaps a full campaign in 2022. So, hats off once again to Richard Dean and Zach Brown and everybody else at United Autosports. It's a big step for them, of course. Right now, with the global pandemic, it's not easy. Oh, yikes, that was a bit brave going to turn one, three cars abreast there, different classes. It's not easy to make travel arrangements in this day and age as we are right now. But United Autosports certainly looking to the future here in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship.
Jeremy was talking, Shea, the bright red number 31 of Pete Modirani came into the pits after another 20 lap stint. Possibly 21. No, it was 21. Yeah, indeed. And now we've got Simon Pagenaud, who's come in as well. And this is that stagger that we're talking about. And that is a 20.20 lap stint for the 48 Ally Cadillac, yeah?
Fuel and tires for both of the Action Express run Cadillacs. Although, as you said, their stagger getting a little bit closer than I'm sure they would want. But yes, Simon Pagenaud staying aboard the 48. And more importantly, Pippo Durrani staying aboard for a triple on the Whelan Engineering Cadillac. So keeping the powder of Mike Conway and Felipe Nasr a little bit drier for now.
VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock Report from Shea Adam. So who goes back to the front of the field this time? Well, it's going to be the Konica Minolta Acura ARX-05. It's the number 10 car with Ricky Taylor on board. Is that the first time that car has led, Jeremy, as it comes across the...
Yes.
Yes, I thought it was.
It is.
So that's another lead change and another leader.
That's right, our sixth different lead change. And our fourth different car that's taken out front. So he's got his way past Kevin Magnussen on that last lap. I don't think we saw that, did we, on our footage? But, change of the lead, it would appear.
A bit of cloud gathering. Sorry, go ahead, Jeremy.
Well, they haven't yet come across the line. But so the number 48 car will be shown still as leading lap 47. But next time around, when they do cross the line, as... it should be any minute now. We believe it's going to be Ricky Taylor out front.
F- 48 Cadillac already in the Jean de Bian bends, turn 14-15 and heading towards the back straight through Le Mans curve at 16. And Ricky Taylor goes across the line as Jeremy was finishing that sentence, and he has 3 seconds on Kevin Magnussen. So that's the gap now, Jeremy, at the front of the field.
Yeah, not sure what happened.
1-0 and 0-1. Yeah.
What happened there? The other interesting thing is that Loic Duval has closed right up on Jonathan Bomarito.
Yeah.
He's been in number 55 Mazda. There was that gap's come down by a second or so each of the last four laps since Jonathan took over the wheel of that car from Oliver Jarvis. Not quite sure why that would be. That was one of the cars that did manage to do 22 laps on that last stint. That and the number 01 car both did 22 lap stints. Most of the others doing 20 or perhaps 21. So that's certainly something we're going to keep an eye on as this race progresses.
Now we're going to get the rest of the prototype starting to come in, and the leader in LMP2 from 7th position, Timothy Brunet for Tower Motorsports. That's the number 8 Orica, Shea Adam.
That is a driver change. I believe that's Gabby Auber getting behind the wheel of the number 8, meaning that this car will have cycled through all three of their drivers. They were actually in the lead because the number 8 made a pit stop very much out of sequence and very much earlier than it should have done. It had only been on track for about 8 minutes at the time, and this was well within the first hour of racing. But now they have managed to get all three drivers into the car, finishing the driver change and waiting for the seatbelts to be done. Ooh, that was a slightly slow driver change. The fuel probe unattached about 2 seconds before the car actually managed to get rolling. So a little bit of time lost for Tower Motorsport. But this is one of our teams that is invested in going for the Michelin Endurance Cup. They come in leading after Daytona 16 points, whereas ERA only has 13 points, so perhaps they're doing a little bit of jiggery and pokery to try and get to the lead at that 8-hour mark.
If you're on IMSA.com, you can look at the onboards, of course, and one of them is one of those onboard cameras is from the 48 Cadillac, and you will notice that the gun sight has disappeared because the window cleaner, not the guy who comes round with a ladder, a bucket and a sponge, by the way, the chap who's cleaning the windscreen on the 48 at the last pit stop took a bit of tape with him and just slapped that down and threw a bit of tape over the top of it. Thank you, Stephen Gardner, for noticing that. I had noticed it and then forgot to mention it, so thank you for reminding me of that on at IMSA Radio using the hashtag RSL Sebring. So Ricky Taylor leading by nearly 4 seconds now to Kevin Magnussen in second, Dan Cameron in third with Jonathan Bomarito in fourth respectively. That is Acura Cadillac, Acura Mazda, the first two looking somewhat binary, 1-0 and 0-1 in the first two positions, then the 60, then the 55, the top pick, a six made up by the number 5 Mustang sampling Cadillac. That's the JDC Miller Motorsport car with Loic Duval still at the wheel and Simon Pagenaud for Ally Cadillac. Now back up into sixth position. We said it would take them a while to get there, and they have done, but it's still the 31 that is out of position. We're down the field, having dropped 4 laps. Shea.
Just hearing from the pit lane that Turner Motorsport, currently with Aiden Reed behind the wheel, they've been turning very, very good times, but they have an electrical gremlin. So that is something that will continue to rear its ugly head throughout the course of this race.
Electrical gremlins are so unreliable. I prefer the older technology and having a clockwork gremlin, that one. At least you know when it's going to run down and stop working. Okay, well, that's bad news. Did we get to the bottom of what was happening with Tommy Milner's car? He's still circulating, but he's still circulating off the pace of the rest of the GT Le Mans runners. There was a pier under the back of the car to the bottom of the engine, which of course is in the middle of the car now in the C8R Chevy Corvette. But he's still running. He's still not running at the pace you would expect to see that car ticking off the lap, Shea.
No, and the last that I heard from that car, which, by the way, Turner Motorsport have now come into the pit lane to try and address the electrical gremlin, so that will be a longer stop for them. Tommy Milner was just going around and around trying to make sure that the problem did not reoccur. But when they did that forced restart of the system, the complete, in effect, Control-Alt-Delete of the car when it came in the first time, it did help out. And then they did it again on the second stop. So now things seem to be going okay. But as you said, not quite up to the pace of the front runners, but also Tommy Milner does not have Conor DeFilippi and Jesse Krohn right behind him pushing him along like Antonio Garcia does.
Shea Adam, AVP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock Reporter. Jeremy Shaw is with me, John Hindhoff in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre as the BMW in the Liqui Moly colours goes behind the wall. So Electrical Gremlin has escalated, and Shea Adam already trying to get the details. Meantime, the number 99 Porsche has had a rotation at turn number 7. That's the Hardpoint ABM car. That's the Rob Ferriel, Earl Bamber and Trenton Estep car. And back end of that car looking very, very loose indeed. Turn 10 also with a big sideways slide. It's Rob Ferriel who's driving that. They were 11th, just ahead of Christina Nielsen. In the sister car, literally, of the 88 machine. EBM is Earl Bamber Motorsport, who have teamed up with Team Hardpoint to run those GT Daytona Porsches. Still trying to make places back up and coming back up through the field. Pete Durrani now in 21st position. He's working on lap number 48, leaders are on 52, so he's still three laps down. Lap pace pretty good, there or thereabouts with the leaders, but really taking any time out of them. He's going into turn number 17 now. The leaders coming onto the back straight. Well, he's maybe pulled out a little bit, half a length of the back straight since the last pit stops. Antonio Garcia by just a second now in GT Le Mans as the BMW of Conor DeFilippi is back into second place. That's the red one. Those two team cars have been swapping places. It's going to be a long old day for the 31 Cadillac of Whelan Engineering and Pete Durrani. Good lap last time around from Magnussen. Follows that up with a 47.5. 3.8 seconds at the head of the field as Tristan Fortier rejoins from the pit lane, having just stopped for that Mustang sampling number 5 that I was talking about. That puts the Simon Pagenaud Cadillac then into 5th position. And that was another 21-lap stint this time for Fortier. Sure looked like there was some work going on down in the 31 Cadillac Action Express pit. They're on a nose cone for that car. Or were they taking bits off it to try and add back onto the 48 Cadillac that they also run?
It's way easier to just swap out a nose for a nose than it is to try and reattach dive planes and whatnot. That looked to me like they were getting it ready for the next pit stop, perhaps to do another nose change. This Action Express grouping as a whole, that will be their fourth nose cone of the weekend between the two different cars. So yes, they're quite adept at doing the nose changes at this point in time. But I was just distracted by a note that came up on the timing screen, John. We saw that moment for Rob Ferriel. Incident involving cars 24 and 99, meaning that he might have gotten a little bit of help from Jesse Krohn. Okay. It is currently under review.
Right. Thank you, Sheik. Good spot there. Bit of a battle brewing up at the front of LMP2 at the moment. Jeremy, the Wynn Autosport car, that's the number 11 machine, is closing down on the leader. We've got, who do we put in that? We put Thomas Murrell in that, and he's chasing down Scott Huffaker for PR1 Matheson Motorsport in the 52.
That's right, the two Northern California drivers, Scott Huffaker from the San Francisco area, Thomas Murrell, who lives just down the road from WeatherTech Raceway to Laguna Seca in Salinas, and they are having a good little battle there in these two cars. Great to see both these two guys having the opportunity. Thomas Merrill His first proper racing was in the Pacific F2000 Championship 10, 15 years ago now. And he was a bit of a star in that, but he was never able to get the funding together to get a proper career going. The last few years, however, he's all the time he's been coaching drivers, had a really good career at that. The last couple of years, he's had an opportunity to drive in the Trans Am Series, done really, really well there. And now, coming on board here with Stephen Thomas to help out Ross Bentley with the driving coach duties. Stephen has put him in this car, and he's absolutely loving it. And it's super to see someone like Thomas Merrill getting this opportunity at this stage. He's been around this world, as I say, for a little while now, but he's now 34 years of age and just really relishing this opportunity. For Scott Huffaker, a much younger driver, he's still only how old is he? 20 or 21, and he's got a big future in this sport ahead of him, no question about it. He's a former winner of the Team USA scholarship, of course, but again, Huffaker name is very, very well known in California, mainly through minis back in the old days, he's not a member of that particular family, but Scott Huffaker has a big future ahead of him, and as we say that, he's just come across the line to set a new fastest lap of the race in LMP2. That's Scott Huffaker in the number 52 car for the also California-based PR1 Matheson Motorsports team.
And that is a new lap record there as well in race trim. For Scott Huffaker in LMP2, I believe, a 49.
Yeah, it is.
Big incident down at turn 7. Now, was that what happened early on? No, that is the right car. It's happened a couple of seconds ago. It is a replay of the... See, Heinoff looks away to check notes, and we get a replay. So I still didn't see the coming together there that caused that, but shit, Adam, it has caused a penalty.
It has, and the penalty has already been served by Jesse Krohn in the 24 BMW, currently on the outlap. This is going to drop him back off the tail of that battle for the lead between Antonio Garcia and Connor DeFilippi, separated by a second at the front of the field right now. But yes, the incident responsibility going the way of the BMW driver. Update on another BMW, by the way. We've got Turner back in the garage area. They are currently working to either change the alternator or the alternator belt, not the crotch belt. We're not assigning blame to you, my friend, on Twitter, but they are working at it at the hauler. This leads me to be a bit concerned, though, because they said electrical gremlin. So if there is an issue with something perhaps draining the battery, if it is the alternator, changing it might not be the end of the day for them. It might be a continuing problem yet.
Yeah, if you electrical gremlins, we thought, but if the alternator isn't being driven properly or isn't putting out the right voltage, all of these cars nowadays like to have all their ECUs like to have a fairly stable power supply, Jeremy, and that could be the start of a very long day indeed.
Yeah, what we see on screen now is really interesting. First of all, we see the battle for the lead in LMP2 with Scott Huffaker, who, by the way, the old lap record holder was Gustavo Menezes, so hats off there to Huffaker. But right behind those two is the overall leader, Ricky Taylor. Well, actually, right behind him is not Ricky Taylor. It's actually Tristan Vautier, who's trying to stay on the lead lap ahead of the overall leader, Ricky Taylor. So I don't think he's quite made the pass. So Vautier now in grave danger of going a lap down in number 5 car, and he's kind of defending the inside position there as they head down the back straight into turn 10 side by side. It's not for position, but it is to stay on the lead lap for Tristan Vautier in car number 5.
Used the number 12 Lexus as a bit of a pick there and used it very nicely indeed into turn 10. They come through 13 now. I think that was that Kyle Kirkwood that was in that Lexus through the Jean Dubian.
GTD leader.
absolutely, GTD leader. So you've got the two class leaders there, and somebody desperately trying to stay on the overall lead lap. And Vautier will know he clearly knows what's going on here. Remember, there was a little bit of damage on the left front of that car. I think that nose cone's been swapped out now as they get the draft down the back straight, and the overall leader goes to the far right-hand side, gets position to go through into turn 17, but there's all sorts going on right ahead, and the black and blue Ricky Taylor driven Konica Minolta Acura is through, and that means that Tristan Vautier in the Mustang sampling, JDC Miller Motorsport. Cadillac, that is the number five car going across the line and into turn one now, is now off the lead lap. That isn't over yet because there's all kinds of cars that they've got to go through and past, including a couple of GT Le Mans runners. I think that's the battle for first and second in GT Le Mans, actually, that they're coming up to now. Now, is that another new fastest lap for Ryan DL? Yes, another new fastest lap in LMP2, another new lap record in LMP2. We are really seeing some good times here early on, Jeremy. The track must be in decent condition. The weather is about perfect, 21, 22 degrees Celsius. That's sitting around about 70 Fahrenheit on both the air, in both the air and on the track. And the pro drivers getting down to work with still a little over 10 hours to go. And we'll get back to Jeremy and Shane in just a moment. We've gone through to another hour on the clock. Midday at Sebring, high noon. And it sees Ricky Taylor leading by 1.7 seconds in the number 10 Konica Minolta Acura. From Magnussen in second in the 0-1 Cadillac from Chip Ganassi Racing. He's got 15 seconds over third, which is Dane Cameron in the 60 Acura. In LMP2, Scott Huffaker is leading for the PR1 Matheson Motorsport Orica. He's got about a second and a half of the Wynn Autosport Orica. And Era in third position with a hard charging and now lap record holding for LMP2, Ryan DL in the number 18 Era car. In GT Le Mans, starting to get interesting there too at the front of the field. 12th and 13th overall, first and second in class for Corvette Racing's Antonio Garcia as Conor De Filippi pulls into the pits for the second place BMW, the red number 25. His teammate has just pitted and rejoined. That is the darker colour car, Augusto Farfus behind the wheel of the 24 car. In LMP3, it's Rasmus Lind for Performance Tech, 14th position overall in the number 38 Ligier, who leads from 47 Motorsports Duquesne D08. That's the number 7 car. Oliver Askew behind the wheel there, and Dylan Murray for Riley Motorsports is in third in the number 91. And last but by no means least, the GT Daytona category is led by Kyle Kirkwood for Vassar Sullivan's Lexus number 14, with Trent Hindman only half a second behind for Wright Motorsports Porsche, and in third place it's Brian Sellers, another 4.5 seconds further back in the number 1. But there is damage to the number 99. That is the Porsche we were talking about earlier on, one of the hardpoint EBM cars, and it's rubbing on the front left front wheel. So contact earlier on, being off the road as well. I think it may have clipped one of the advertising hoardings. But that is your update then at just after noon in the 69th annual Mobile One. 12 hours of Sebring presented by Advanced Auto Parts.
Racing on America's classic circuit. This is IMSA Radio.